Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As always, grateful to be with you on this September 6th, 2022. Can you believe that? The ninth month of the year already, in the year of 2022. It's open mic tonight. It's open mic. So we welcome you to give us a call and share with us your best thoughts there, and allow us to understand a little bit better how you are feeling tonight and what's going on with you. All right. The number to call is 657-383-0944. We were not here last Tuesday. We're going to engage in you tonight. Those who will give us a call here again at 657-383-0944. That is the number to call, and we'd be happy to take your questions, your comments, and to engage you accordingly. All right. I hope our sound is doing okay here. We've been experimenting with sound here in a couple of different ways, but nonetheless, here we are. 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 And as always, we're grateful for each of you for tuning in with us and giving us your feedback and things of that nature. Okay. So it's open mic night. It's open mic night, like I say, and that means that you, the listening audience, can share with us what's on your mind. Whatever your topics of interest are, we'll be happy to entertain that, and I'll try to speak as intelligently as I possibly can in reference to that. And, you know, if you ask, you should pose a question to me. We'll be happy to try it again to respond accordingly in the best way we know how we can there, all right? So again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. And we will be right here with you. All right. I know we missed a few people, and that sometimes can cause people to wander away. But there we go. All right. Okay. Well, we'll start off. The phone lines are open. I'm going to start off with a just a little small song here, and we'll be right back. 657-383-0944. Check in my sound quality to make sure, that we can hear each other okay here. And that being said, we will dip right back with ya. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and give us a little... of discussion, a question perhaps that you'd like to address here, We'd be happy to do that. As your host, we'll facilitate that. This is Talk Straight, and you're on live now on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We'd love to hear from you there. All right. While we await your call, I'll just kind of open up some topics here, some things, and share with you. So one particular podcast that's out there, and they have some other articles that they publish, is the Heritage Foundation. And just like to go over a few of the issues that that they are sharing that are key going on across America. As you know, Talk Straight designed to provide national dialogue, right? And we specifically focused our attention on urban American issues, but very broadly, we talked about other things ranging from education to religion to politics, music sometimes, family, and those sort of sociology, things of that nature, education, and so on and so on. So, but tonight is open mic, as I said, and we welcome your insight and your input. You got the mic tonight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery, and we will be facilitating it. Hopefully we can get some of our regular callers to give us a buzz back here on 657-383-0944. We'll probably go here, and we got about another hour and 18 minutes, but we'll go as long as we can here tonight and take your calls there. A Heritage Foundation organization, some of the things that they are addressing in terms of policy-related topics, things like conservatism versus progressivism. Now, you know, these are things that keep some people at odds with one another. So what does it mean to be conservative? What does it mean to be progressive? And a lot of times people couch it in terms of Republicans and Democrats. But then you're finding that within the Republican Party, there are factions, and within the Democratic Party, there are factions. So it just leaves you totally confused. This is about who's who and what's what. I mean, really, are you, what is it, you know? At the end of the day, people have to determine for themselves, right? And it's your right to take a position, even if it aligns itself with a certain political ideology or a party platform, if you will, right? That's the individual's right. I find that most independents, as I am, they have a tendency to look at things face value for what they are, right? And then draw and make a decision. Particularly with regards to those who are running for public office. And with full disclosure, I'm one of those on the 2020-22 ballot, November 8th, here in Nashville, Davidson County, running for state office, the 21st Senatorial District. However, I say again that to say that we, each of us, have the right, and I would encourage anyone to look very strongly at all the candidates that are before you and consider what it is that who they are, what their interests are, and how they might represent, or better yet, the interest of everyone. So, but one of the, I just mentioned one of the biggest or major topics was this conservatism versus progressivism, you know, something to talk about. Another one is healthcare, the quality of healthcare for seniors and people with pre-existing conditions and things of that nature. Over the last 12 years or better, been a big fight about individuals with pre-existing conditions being able to have access to quality healthcare. And the American, what is it called, ACA, American Care Act, basically passed under former President Obama, they provided government-based or supported health care options. And most recently, President Biden assigned a bill that, as I understand it, will expand opportunities for Medicare and certain other resources for health. But that's a big issue. It can cost. You know, realistically, the question is who's going to pay for it? And if you're a taxpayer and you don't want to have to pay any more taxes, understandably, that's a question you want to know. Okay, hold it. Before we start giving this stuff away, who's going to pay for it? How is it going to affect my bottom line, my personal pocket? So that's another topic, health care. It's a very important one, though. It's a very important one. The other is immigration. If you watch the news, particularly certain channels, you can see that now there's this big issue in cities like Chicago and New York and D.C. They're complaining about the governor of Texas sending immigrants that came across the border without permission. That makes them illegal immigrants. That's against the law to cross the border without permission. That makes, you know, what's happening is they're upset. But the governor there is saying, listen, these border states like Texas have been struggling with these individuals coming over. We can't feed them and care for them and over-tax our schools and social services. So many of these, particularly D.C., Chicago, and New York, have identified themselves being what's called sanctuary cities. One would assume that they would be happy to be open to them, you know. Anyway, nonetheless, there you go. Immigration is a big issue that's on a lot of people's minds here. Another one is religious freedom. Religious freedom. Now, a lot of times this is tied to being a Republican or conservative of some kind. But I would argue that particularly African Americans, and not only them, others, Catholics and others, have been extremely religious, conservatively religious, you know, even if they embrace other what's called liberal or progressive policies on a social level in terms of their religious practices. They're very conservative. But everyone has the right expression in religion, according to the Constitution of the United States. But that's a big issue. How far should the government go, and how far does your individual enumerated rights go? We saw that challenge largely with COVID restrictions where, but some passively, many churches just went along, but there were others who pushed back and said, no. We want to continue our faith, trust God, and practice as we want to do without the interference of government. So in recent years, religious liberty has become a big topic. Here's just another one. Marriage, you know. How do you define a family in 2022? How do you define a marriage in 2022? It's interesting. Recently, a current Supreme Court justice was asked that during the nomination process, what is a woman? And according to her, she couldn't answer that. She said she wasn't qualified to answer that because she's not a scientist. Again, not making light of it, but I'm just speaking to some of the hotbed issues here in 2022, particularly for young people. I think this has a lot to do with why many of them are apprehensive about becoming married, you know, because there are so many things and so many factors that cause them to stop and pause and wonder. Many of them say they don't wish to have children, and that's their right, you know, but here you go. It's a major topic, focus of conversation nationally around the country. Education. Y'all knew that was going to come up, right? early education and preschool. What should that look like? What should be taught
in kindergarten, the elementary school level, middle schools, high schools, and even post-secondary. Who should pay for it, right? One of the big issues right now is that President Biden is a lot of conversation about him forgiving student debt. Now, I'm one of those who might benefit from that if that happened, if I were to take advantage of it. But there's a big debate on whether or not that's fair to those who didn't go to college, right, and who didn't take out such a loan and promised to pay it back because somebody's got to pay for it. Again, who's going to pay for it? And basically, it's not fair for people who didn't participate in college to pay for people like myself who went to college and got student loans. And we made that commitment to pay for it. And we've been doing the best we can, you know. There have been some pension of them and so forth and so on. And, you know, I understand that it's only right. I definitely hear that argument that, look, I don't want to pay for your education, doctor. I get it. But that's a big conversation. Then another big conversation is how much weight should certain political groups or organizations, such as teachers union, have in the say on policies related to instruction, content material, distribution of resources, and things of that nature. As you know, there are three tiers of funding for education, particularly on the secondary and under level, and that is your local municipality. Tax base there produces the vast majority of it. Then second to that is your state. They supplement the local government. And then some federal funds come into play, right? So who should control those dollars? One big thing is allowing parents to take public dollars and use them at a school of their choice for their child's education. Some would argue that's controversial. Why is that? Needless to say, it's a big topic across America today. The environment. One big thing that people are talking about all the time is preserving and saving, sparing the environment from global warming crisis and threats. I often hear people cite studies, and when you ask a look closer, what studies, who are these studies and what they've done on, there's a lot of question about the validity of many of the claims, basically. Now, it's a good thing to have healthy air quality and so forth and so on, but when you dig into it deeply, you'll realize that some countries are far worse off than America is. China's one of them in terms of pollution. Can we do better? Always. We can always do better. Absolutely. Absolutely. We can always improve and do better. However, it's important also to realize that these things don't happen in a vacuum. See? All right? So that's in the environment. That's a big topic. Again, I'm sharing with you some of the topics that are reported in articles with the Heritage Organization. These are politically related topics, or policies, I should say, policy related. Spending is another. You know, the government don't own no money. Y'all know that, right? They get their monies from taxing you and I, citizens. And the expectation is that it will be used to look out for the general welfare and take care of everyone else. But then it begs the question, what's reasonable, you know, spending? What's reasonable to tax someone for? Are there things that I shouldn't have to pay additional taxes for to cover certain programs or things that I don't necessarily think are important or necessary? That's a big issue. And it goes along those lines of conservative and progressive. right, that we talked about earlier. Welfare. Welfare is a big issue. You know, we on this show, we talked about former President Lyndon Johnson, how he launched his war on poverty back in the 60s, right? And a lot of money has been spent. A lot of money. I think somewhere in the tune of around $25 trillion since the 60s up to now has spent on welfare. But yet we still have it. Especially in major cities, you see homeless people and things of that nature. That begs the question, really, should we take another look at it as a society, as a nation? But there are different sides on that. Oh, here come a big one. Here come in the last couple of election cycles, this has become a major conversation. Election integrity. Now, all my life, the way you vote, since I've been 18, is that you go in, one person get one vote. You go in and you go in a closed place so that you can cast a vote. And you come out of there. You don't get to go back. The excuse has been made in terms of COVID being a reason why people should be able to go in now and cast a vote and not necessarily show up at the polls, send that vote in, mail it in. You have mail-in ballots for senior citizens and people that are overseas and other special conditions. But ideally, the way everyone makes sure that the ballot is sacred, that it's fair, you get off your tail. That's what I've done all my life. And you go vote. And you go vote. But that's another major issue that is going on around the country. So we've just talked about a few of them, but we go to the phone lines. Looks like St. Louis is joining us here. Welcome, St. Louis, to Talk Straight.
But yeah, as you go to the polls, and at the end of the day, the ballot should be tallied at the location where it was cast. Not messed up and all across town and in the nation. Leaving the polling place at 9 and getting to their destination by 2 or 3 in the morning. Hell no.
Yeah.
Count them right there and have verification of people as they count them and also as they call them in so they listening. And I still say that the federal ballot should be separate from state and local because you got some states and local that let illegals vote. That's not the case with the federal ballot. Federal ballot should have their own vetting system, your own proof of who you are, and the procedure. It shouldn't be on the electronic machine and none of that stuff which jeopardize and compromise a transparent process.
Yeah. I was just mentioning, St. Louis, how the justification was made. I personally don't, you know, I don't buy into it that because of COVID, there should have been a lacking of rules and people should have been allowed to send their vote in and allow other people to pick them up and take them for them. Of course, if you ask me, that opens the door for fraudulent type activity. And many suspects.
You're absolutely right.
But
I'm glad you say that. I hope you don't lose your job over saying that.
Lose my job?
I'll get less biscuits.
I take your biscuits. If they take mine, I come get yours. That is no, I ain't worried about
that.
Yeah,
but that's how Biden won the election with that fraud stuff.
Well,
in that county.
You know, and
12 o'clock midnight, Trump was leading by 600,000 votes. Then all of a sudden, 6 in the morning, where all them votes come from?
So I'm reading from the Heritage Organization. And these are some of the current events and hotbed policy-related topics. That's one of them. Of course, election integrity is one of them. And I was just saying that I started off by putting two classes there, the viewpoint of those who are considered to be conservative and those who are considered to be progressive. And I was saying that you shouldn't allow nobody to determine which bag you're put in, you know, a box you're put in, you yourself. But these are topics, man, that are important. And some people, they're ready to fight when you start. Chicago originally, and there was an old saying in Chicago. I mean, you know, vote and vote often. That's illegal, man. You ain't supposed to do that. Man.
Oh, yeah, that's the saying. I know that for purpose in the hood. You're daggone right. When you go by them cemeteries the day after the election, all them grave dirt been disturbed.
Mm-mm.
Even though came out them graves and went to the polls and voted.
That's not, you know, and so at the end of the day, St. Louis, somebody's going to come up short, right? Right?
The people
and
come up short.
Unless you,
Ruben?
That's absolute, that is, you know what? That I agree with you 1,000%. It's the people that come up short. It's the people. Because these politicians often, they have their own agendas, man. And at the end of the day, they may get in office and then you regret that they're there. And you may have voted for them. You know?
Well, they do vote for them. Black folks vote for black folks. If you black got black skin, got a D behind your name, you 2/3 of the way there. And that's ridiculous, man, because just look at that situation. Look at these cities that's ran by these elected officials that have a black skin. Look at Jackson, Mississippi. They turn on the water and it look like it's chocolate milk coming out of it.
Yeah, the little guy down there, the mayor down there, and he basically was one of those who made it very clear that he, you know, he's pro-black and focus on managing your city, man. Do that well. You know,
I knew his daddy.
Is that right?
I knew his daddy. Chuckle, yes.
Okay.
His daddy was a member of the Republic of New Africa. That's the group that won't have five separate states. You know, that activism has its place. But damn, every place where you have these activists running government, it's terrible. I mean, it's just terrible. Schools are terrible. People move. Then they don't have enough money to run the operations of the city because folks move. You want to raise taxes, people move faster.
Yeah.
And the ones left behind are just, you know, I feel, you know, I'm going to tell you something, Ruben, all kidding aside. I real feel sorry for these kids. I don't care, I don't feel sorry for these knucklehead parents. But the kids, I really feel sorry for them because they don't have the opportunity to find within themselves how they can help to make the country great. They don't.
Right. You know,
and
that's
a shame, man.
I concur. You know, if we want to mess up our lives more than what it is, okay, that's one thing. But children don't have the, as you're saying, the resources, the wherewithal to really to have a fair shot at that thing. The best thing we can do is educate them and empower them to make good decisions as adults. But if we screw that up for them, man, I mean, what do they have?
In St. Louis, it's a white church out in Chesterfield that making a program available for black kids out of the Ferguson Florissant School District to introduce them to aviation. This is a white church.
Wow.
These white people are doing that. Where is black folks? Now, wait a minute. Because out there in Los Angeles, Matthew Graves did put a program together called Oakland First.
Right.
He's black for black kids. In Dallas, Texas, you had some black men, and one of them, I think, was a Tuskegee Airman. I think he's probably passed on now. But working with conjunction with American Airlines, they put together a program, too. So it does happen, but then again, it don't happen nowhere near it should. And that's a sad thing.
Sure. Welfare is another hot topic, man. You know?
In Chicago?
In general. And these are national policy-based issues that are hot topics around the country. I was just hearing it. It's open mic night.
I thought Pritchard said he was taking Section 8 from blacks and giving it to those immigrants.
Who said that?
The governor of Illinois, Pritchard.
Oh, Pritchard? Man, listen. That dude right there, man. Okay. All right. Is that what he said? Okay. And what was the basis?
Yes, sir.
Why did he say Why did he say he was doing that? I mean, who is that going to help?
Well,
how's it going to help?
You got a lot of immigrants coming up there. Of course, some mayors, not mayors, governors are busing them in Chicago. Chicago said they was a sanctuary city, so send them there. And, you know, in a kind of way, I'm against that. Because you put all them immigrants in these cities and they start multiplying, next thing you know, you got you a fifth column inside your country. And then they don't speak English. Look at the money you got to expend. You got to pay for resident, citizen of that area to teach these kids how to speak English. That money could be utilized someplace else.
Well, now let me speak from this standpoint in terms of immigrants. I'm someone, let's say, and it's assuming that character, that came to America and was trying to get become naturalized as a citizen. And I'm going through the right process to do that. And I go through everything I need to. And then I'm seeing this case where others come through the back door and they get away with, literally, with murder sometimes. That doesn't seem right. It just make it again, it calls imbalance, and it seems unfair for everybody in large. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, at what point do we get to what's prescribed by law in the interest of making sure it's fair and equitable? But that's how you do it. That's how you have equability. It's follow the law as it's written.
Well, they got to be in a country legally. And any illegal person that's accumulating assets, those assets should be seized because they acquired them by doing an illegal activity, and that is working when you're not supposed to be working. You're in a country illegally.
Is that the same thing that we do to drug dealers when we arrest them and we seize their assets and what have you?
Sure do.
Mm-hmm. Because they're criminals, that we say they're criminals, right?
They sure are.
You know, that's interesting. I've got an invitation to fill out some questionnaires from groups, and that's one of the questions they ask. They make the point that a certain amount of dollars have been earned because of the efforts of individuals who are non-documented in America. But I don't know if that's the same thing as illegal.
That's illegal.
Undocumented immigrants. Okay.
Breaking the law.
And so should we treat them like you do the drug dealer when they make what's considered to be ill-gotten gains?
Yeah, but look at Lori Lightfoot. She's saying that the governor of Texas is immoral, don't have no sympathy. Damn the sympathy, man. And, you know, here's the funny thing about that. Just as 50 of them get off the bus, 50 that was got off the bus the week before were getting on, so they want out of here because of all the damn gunfire in that city.
Well, what I would love to hear from Lori Lightfoot is how she's going to stop the violence, how she's going to stop the influx of poverty and despair that's causing many people to leave Chicago. That's what I would like to hear from her. You know, but obviously we can't hear
it.
That. Yeah, no. You know.
Same thing as St. Louis. They ain't gonna do that. Them folks can't run no damn city.
What? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them, man? Well, now,
I don't know. They ain't
gonna
run no.
Before I go any further, is there anything else in particular that you like? It's open mic. Anything else in particular that you'd like to share?
I've seen very few black mayors run black-led cities proficiently. Maynard Jackson was one down there in Atlanta. But I can't name another.
Barry?
Who?
Late Barry. Mayor Barry. No?
Mayor Barry was pretty good at getting businesses, yeah.
Yeah. He got down, man. That dude got down. What was that? You remember Gordy out of Philadelphia?
No, I don't remember him.
Oh, what was his first? He was there when that group Move got bombed. He was the mayor.
I can't think of his name. Isn't that Good? That was Mayor Good.
It was Goody. Goody, right. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Black guy.
Right.
I thought he had some interesting policies for Philly back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was when they were probably doing better than they ever had, economically, socially, and the whole nine. But, I mean, so we were just talking about some black mayors. Harold Washington, people argue Harold Washington did a pretty good job in Chicago. You know?
Yeah, they worried him to death.
Oh, my God. I don't say they killed him.
They killed him. Same thing with Lumumba down there in Jackson. They killed him. Trying to keep up with all this stuff. Word of my death.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It's 2022, man, and we're moving forward, and now this big deal about the election for the midterms and then 2024, and it just seems like all of the friction that's between the two major parties, people are losing out on what's most important for them, man, and that is to take care of your business. Handle your business. So these folks ain't going to take care of your business if you don't.
Man, these Democrats, you got stuff messed up. Spending money. See, there needs to be the taking away the power of the federal government to borrow money. That'll stop that'll stop by 80% of all this stuff. Because all they do is borrow money and spend money, $400 billion. You got a debt of $30 trillion. That's your kids that's going to be paying that off. And you know, that pissed me off with black folks, they be having all these meetings and discussions, and there's no young people with them. And the only time the young people get involved is sometime in the future when all of a sudden all this stuff hits them. And then they don't know what's going on because they were not sitting at the table when all them plans was being made.
That's an interesting way of putting it, man. That's an interesting way of putting it. But I was just going to comment that it's 535 people you hold accountable for misspending of your tax dollars, and that's Congress. They control the purse. I don't care what the president say. They control the purse, right?
Oh, well, some of them get benefits from it. Like you giving money to the Ukraine, that money's coming right back around like a boomerang and going into the campaign coffers of some of these politicians.
Well,
these countries that want to develop is buying these politicians. They're buying favoritism and the ear. And the payoff is through your foundations and things like that.
St. Louis, I know a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, but the truth is that the oligarchs of Russia and in Ukraine for years, before Putin debated, I'm not talking about that, but for years they've been crooked, man. They've been crooked, crooked, crooked. And unfortunately, here they are now in the midst of a war between Russia and Ukraine, and now everybody want to just give them it, but you got to ask yourself the question, who's getting that money, right? And how will it be used specifically for the war effort to sustain, you know, Ukraine? It's a lot of details most average person don't know about, though.
It's not going to be used, right? Look at Libya and Iraq.
Yeah,
the people that the United States military was fighting in Iraq, damn near the same, some of the leaders in that bunch is running Libya now. And what they do is set up their thing, and then they ask for aid. That aid never gets spent in order to progress those countries. That aid goes in their pocket, and also they buy off politicians in the United States. When Hillary Clinton lost, her foundation had to give back money to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. That's rough. It's rough there, man. Yeah. So,
could you imagine how well off you as a citizen would be if you didn't have to pay all them damn federal taxes?
I'd probably have quite a few more dollars in my pocket, to be honest.
You could have had two or three schools.
Hey, man, what you talking about? I've had a lot of money in my pocket, baby. But, yeah.
See, when inflation goes up, federal spending is what drives up inflation. And when inflation goes up, that makes your money worth less.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what now, there are good people who some may identify themselves as conservative and others progressive, but I really do believe that in the middle, all of us really want things to get back to where they were, where we can have a little bit better control over our own resources, and the government is not running so much of our lives. And that wasn't too long ago that seemed to have been the case. At least it didn't look like they were running our lives anyway. And it looked like some were pushing for more and more control over key issues, and which begs the question, my goodness, what's going on here? What's really going on?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Where's everybody at tonight?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But we're gonna keep the phone lines open here at least for a minute as best we can.
What do women get married?
Can't speak to that, sir. I can't speak
they
to
can't,
that.
They don't show up no more to your shows. You weren't on last week, were you?
No, last week my wife and I were celebrating our 27th year anniversary, and so I had to get ready for us to cut out of town for a few days. We didn't have a show last week. I survived it. I'm working on next 27 now. Working on next 27. So. You know what she told me, don't you, St. Louis? If you don't mess up, you'll live enough. If you don't mess up, you'll live to see next year. And then we can go from there.
Well, that's a good reminder.
Well, keep me on my P's and Q's, right? Keep me on my P's and Q's. But, yeah, so... But yeah, man, a couple other these things here, and we can, if there's something else you'd like to discuss, we can. But I would just, healthcare is a big thing. My agency sells Medicare A and B and products as well as supplemental things. And one of the big impacts that President Biden just signed this bill recently. It's supposed to make medications cheaper. What do you think about that? It's going to put a bind on the pharmacy.
Oh, no, I don't take medication, but how is it going to do that?
It's supposed to force them to lower their prices.
The market is a free market. Government has no business trying to force. That's Biden talking.
And that's why I think it's going to set the stage for a lot of lawsuits when they really try to start to implement that. I don't believe they really kicked it off just yet, but I mean, he signed the bill, made a law that was passed narrowly in the Senate and on partisan land, both in the Senate and in the House. So you don't take medicine, but do you think for senior citizens and others who want fixed income, that there should be some sort of regulations that keep them from being priced out of affordability for their medicine?
Well, I don't know. I think that you got Medicare and you got that other supplements that go along with it. So I don't know. But I'm against the government telling businesses what they got to price things. Because they may price it in one direction one time, the next time they price it in the next other direction where it costs more. Government don't have no business doing that. Then they use these. Then you got these judges that use these newfound words and definitions, like the general welfare of the people.
That ain't supposed to be applied there.
Hmm.
Yeah. General welfare has been around a while. In fact, that goes back to the preamble, the Constitution, promotes general welfare.
The preamble ain't within the Constitution, though.
It's the preamble to it. It's what precedes it. Preamble
is not no law. But the thing is, the federal government has gotten so big and so completely out of control that it needs to be reeled in. Before the people do something themselves. Or if you're getting tired of all this mess.
There's a lot of rhetoric out there, man. And again, there are others who are busy trying to salvage their lives and maintain a quality of life that they can keep and get fit. And they're not really caught up in the political fights from one group or another. But I guess at some point you have to really ask yourself, really, and you, what you can't control is what happens in D.C. You have a better control of what's going on in your backyard, you know, on the state level and local level. And most people are detached from that.
Well, that money ain't not going to do you any good, because soon the government get involved in things, suppliers and manufacturers, and they raise prices.
Well, we see that at the pump, and we see that in the grocery stores, don't we? You know?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You're talking about taxing them, all they're going to do is pass that on to the consumer. And then there you go, you know? And really, the price of bread, things like milk and eggs and everyday things that people eat, meat, you know, it becomes a rough thing, man. I saw a guy
who
paid $160 to fill his vehicle up. He has a truck, man. Like, wow, dude. That's a monster right there. That's a monster right there. But yeah. Let me ask you this, St. Louis. Is there any hope that you can see that these people on both sides of the aisle, perspective, conservative and progressive, that they'd be able to see eye to eye and work together? None? Ain't no chance?
No, you can't trust them Democrats until you turn your
what
back.
What about Republicans? What about Republicans? Any chance
it's Republicans the Republicans that don't do nothing. Conservatives don't do anything.
Say what? They don't do nothing. Wait a minute.
The Republicans don't govern.
What?
They sad.
What they doing? What they doing?
They just like a bump on a log. They sad.
Wow. So who can you turn to, man? What?
And see, to make matters worse, the people don't know what the hell they're supposed to do. They don't know how the government works. They don't know their responsibility. Their powers, they don't.
I think the latest the latest stat in terms of the electorate is that some 85 or a greater percent of them are totally detached from really what's going on in government affairs and how government functions, you know what I mean? Which is one reason I think all around the country it ought to be mandatory that you take civics, basic civics, you know?
How to carry and operate and use a weapon like they do in Switzerland.
Now, isn't that optional, though?
It should be mandatory.
Why do you say that? I'm just curious. Why do you say that?
I'll say the militia. They the well-standing militia.
That's to the point, though, if individuals thought that was a need. When you say it's mandatory, it sounds like you are mandatorily setting people up to be oppositional to government.
They got a right to be. They supposed to control government.
I'm not saying they don't have a right to be. You're right. That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying
they got a right to be. It should be. They should be. It's like you mandate people to take hunting. Gun safety and hunting safety before you give them a hunting license in some
now,
states.
That means everybody don't have to go hunting, though. But when you say firearms training should be mandatory, that means everybody has to do it. And for what purpose?
Five cities, the ordinance of those cities say you got to have guns at the house.
What city? No,
Kennesaw, Georgia. Kennesaw, Georgia, Nelson, Georgia, Gun Barrel City, Texas, Cuda, Colorado, and one other one I can't think of.
Now, that's if you want to possess a firearm, correct?
Well, they don't enforce it, but that's what's on. In Switzerland, in Finland, you got to know how to be able to use the latest in technology and weapons.
Huh. Okay.
Well, they don't have no standing army. The people is there.
I see.
Is it?
That's a different government structure then.
Well, it's the same way here. Is that it's the people? The militia is the people.
Yeah, and of course the militia only comes into play if the government is over. You know, if there's a claim.
No, the militia coming. Yeah, the government is tyrannical, or any other thing.
Right.
You need the. That's when the militia, the people. Come
Correct.
To the turn.
Correct.
It's like it was in the War 1812 when the British burned the capital and was marching toward New Orleans. Well, they came mm-hmm. under fire from citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Sherman, when he was going to Atlanta and he was coming into Kennesaw Mountain, the people turned his butt around.
Right. Okay.
Well, so they do good, but that's all that's still there.
I'm curious, St. Louis, since we just talking, we got a few more minutes here. What's your thought on this new SpaeX? It's supposed to be another branch of the armed services. The space, what is it called? The U.S. SpaceX, what's it called? What's your thought on that? How necessary do you think that is?
Well, if your adversary knock out your satellites, you ain't got nothing. No communication,
okay.
No nothing. And no way, actually, no way you're going to stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got satellites that circle the planet. So it just going to knock them out where you are not. And when the world turns over to where they were, there's no communication.
Okay. So it's not I've been trying to wrap my mind around that. That's not the expectation that if we go to war in terms of that, branch of service, it's not that you're going to physically go to war as it is. It's a cyber war. Is that what they're really looking at? Or I guess really.
Well, if you went to war, if you don't have the way to communicate, other than old-fashioned ways, then you don't have ways to track not satellites, but missiles and none of that stuff. So that's going to be a method to go by imposing damages to your adversary.
Okay, Space Command. Well, that's interesting. I just wonder sometimes if that could fall under some of the other branches of service as opposed to creating a new one. And if that's more money, we could save. You understand what I'm saying? And I know we're focusing on space warfare, if you will. Warfare, I'm sorry, if you will. What does that mean? What is space warfare? You know what I mean? That's just me. That's just me, though.
Well, you have all-out war, you're going to have cities bombed. People are going to get killed. Some of the bombs, if they were to go off in Washington, D.C., would cause killing effects clean over into Baltimore.
I understand that to be focusing on military-based operations in space, though. And given that there's a limited amount of people, I know, who was that guy? Last guy went up there with a rocket. Is that Musk? Elon Musk sent somebody up there. It's a limited amount of it. So really, is it that much friction up there?
No, they're not going to be fighting in space. They're going the things that need it to carry out daily operations with the usage of relay satellites that are orbiting stationary orbit. Which is about 25,000 miles, they're going to be hit, knocked out. So your phone won't work.
Right. So I guess that's going to make room for more engineers, huh? People in engineering and so forth on that.
Anybody left?
communications and that sort of deal. So,
Interesting.
Just something to make you go, something to go make you home. But yeah, okay. It's open mic night, 657-383-0944. If you're listening, you're following us on the podcast platform at Blog Talk Radio. We got a few more minutes. We'll probably wrap it up here pretty soon. Pastor Waller has been at his camp, and I wasn't able to be there because I was out of town, but he had his camp. Looked like everything went well to be expected. And so I imagine he's still wrapping that up because he had it a little later than normal in the year. But yeah, so and some of our regular callers, so we'll probably give him a call and just ask, hey man, hey look, wanna know where y'all at, man. Did y'all get married on it or what? What happened, man? What y'all been doing, man? But
yeah, I know. I ain't gonna stick around. It's out there a lot. But
okay, well listen, I appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you sharing.
All right then, well I'll try to do the best I can, but you take care of yourself.
All right, thanks.
And be safe. All right.
Yes, sir, for sure. All right, take care. All right, so it's been open mic, and we've been going for about an hour here. What we're going to do is we're going to take a little commercial break here, and then we'll come back on the other side, 657-383-0944. We'll stick around just for a few more minutes to see if somebody have something they want to share with us, and then we'll come back after that. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery.
Hi, this is consensus candidate Reuben Dockery, your choice for Tennessee Senate 21. I could really use your help as we strive to reach over 139,000 voters in Senate District 21. Please go to www.dockery4tn.com and make a contribution today. I understand that the meaning of a sacrifice is to give in the interest of others when it may be a strain on you. But today your sacrifice will help us bring new leadership to Tennessee Senate 21. And I appreciate your sacrifice in advance and look forward to seeing you throughout the campaign cycle. Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And we've been going for about an hour here. And hope we don't miss anybody too bad. But we're going to go ahead and cut it off now. We're going to go ahead and cut it off now. And look forward to more conversation with you on next Tuesday. Next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. Again, this is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're grateful for each and every one of you for joining us here. And if you'd like to give me an email, shoot me an email off air, you can send it to bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's Bravo Fox Cali, bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Be happy to entertain your question or comment there. All righty. Well, that being said, we thank you again. If you listen to this after the fact, we appreciate you and we'll look forward to engaging you a little bit further on next Tuesday night for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, signing off.